The owls I've known personally have been intelligent, patient, and extremely gentle with their family members, or, in the case of my education owl, Archimedes, with me. It's true that to say a person is owlish normally means rather inoffensively bookish, when real owls are both functionally illiterate and fiercely predacious. Disney's large owl in Sleeping Beauty, patterned after a great horned or eagle owl, is friends with a squirrel and rabbits that would normally be its prey. And Big Mama, the kindly owl voiced by Pearl Daly in Disney's Fox and the Hound, is even more nurturing toward the young mammals she'd normally pursue as prey. But even animated and lighthearted movies and television programs are more likely to use owls as dark, malevolent omens. Toward the end of my personal favorite holiday television special, Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol, when the ghost of Christmas future is leading Mr. Magoo's Scrooge through a graveyard, a spooky owl watches from a dark, looming skeletal tree. And in an episode of the old television show Northern Exposure, just before a satellite drops down from the sky to kill Maggie's fiancé, we hear a great horned owl hooting. In Julius Caesar, Casca is terrified when an owl, the bird of night, did sit, even at noonday, upon the marketplace, howling and shrieking. And no one doubts the omen of death in the title of Margaret Craven's I Heard the Owl Call My Name. I like how W.J. Broderip in 1894 explained this. Quote, "There are few animals that have been more suspiciously regarded than owls. Their retired habits, the desolate places that are their favorite haunts, their hollow hootings, fearful shriekings, serpent-like hissings, and coffin-maker snappings have helped to give them a bad eminence, more than overbalancing all the glory that Minerva and her own Athens could shed around them." End quote. Ironically, that Roman goddess Minerva wasn't depicted with an owl nearly as often as her Greek counterpart, Athena, was. The Romans were far more superstitious about owls than the more sensible Athenians. Not being superstitious, I consider any owl I see, day or night, a joyous and even serendipitous event because owls are so tricky to see. By daytime, the simplest way to see them is to track down swearing crows or jays and check out who they're yelling at. By night, owls are far, far more often heard than seen. Probably 90% of all the owls I've seen at night were called in by my own or a wild owl's hooting or by someone's recording of them, and all the rest only because an owl happened to call when I was close enough to see it. Last year, on an owl prowl with Lawrence Halsey, a wonderful guide leading a field trip when I was at the Tucson Audubon Birding Festival, we got a quick but satisfying look at a whiskered screech owl and great looks at a western screech owl who even allowed me to take photos. A whole family of great horned owls were calling all around us, but I didn't get a single look at any of them. Nighttime birding is tricky. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.